morning. Can we all stand? Let's just start this service off with prayer. Praying for everybody that could still be driving and everybody gets home safely. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. God, we ask that your hand of protection would be upon every person, God, that's still driving and every person on their way home. God, I pray that your hand would be upon this service. God, that your spirit would just fill this place. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would meet every need. God, that you would be here in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory is yours, yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are worthy. Good morning, everybody. Praise God. It's so good to have you all here this morning. How many people got to shovel a little bit this morning? Yeah, a little extra calorie burning there. Those of you at home, maybe you got to shovel. Maybe you're doing it afterwards. It's okay. We're just happy you're here in service with us, virtually and in person. Couple things is, if you're new here, if this is your first time, we have a little connection card. If you find one of these or hand one of these, fill it out and give it to one of the ushers in the back. If you didn't get one of these, they have them in the back. You can ask an usher. And if you're watching today, and this is maybe your first time watching, we'd love to get to know you. There's a spot on some of these websites that you're watching on that you can enter your name and say, hey, how's it going? I want to learn more. And so we'd love to meet you and get to know you a little bit better. And we have a little gift for you as well. I want to remind everybody of our giving options. If you're worshiping in person today, there's a little acrylic clear box you can drop your offerings into if you'd like. And if you're at home or if you're here and you want a text to give, you can text to give. There's a number. And you just put the words next to it. You can also mail. The U.S. Postal Service is still running. And you can put something through the mail. And also, if you go right to the website, cgcmadison.org/giving, or if you go to the website and say, I want to give, you'll be able to find it there too. You can give as well. But we're thankful this morning for God and His love and His mercies. And this Friday, so it's five days from now, Friday, February 5th, at 7 p.m. is an all-church prayer meeting. See the announcement. 7 p.m. is an all-church prayer meeting. And with everything that's going on, I know a lot of you. I don't know a lot of you. But whatever I've heard when I've talked to people is that I believe God is starting to speak to us just a little bit. Just asking us, could I spend a little more time with you? Could you be in my presence just a little more? I want to be there for you. I want to love you. I want to nourish you. That's what He's saying to us. I want to comfort you. And so I think He's telling people just a little bit more. Let's get closer. Let's get back to prayer. Let's make that a priority as we're refreshing and renewing and reconnecting and doing, getting rid of all the garbage that Pastor Roy's talking about. Prayer seems to be a focus that God is speaking to us. And so this is our first opportunity to do it corporately. February 5th, 7 p.m., that's this Friday. You could be here in person. I think also we'll have portions of it streamed as well. But we'd love to have you, and God will bless the service and the prayer. So let's pray today that God would... Individually, let's pray that God would touch our hearts today in this service. So we would learn something. Whether you're at home or here, God's everywhere. His Spirit is everywhere. You could feel Him in your home right now. And you could feel Him right here if you're here. And so let's pray that God touches our hearts. Let's pray that we'd have the right soil for God to speak to us in. And let's pray that Pastor Roy is anointed, that God would speak to him as He has already. And that He would work through him to plant into us a message. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for your blessings and your love and your goodness and your greatness. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord, as our families in this church. God, I pray that you'd speak into my heart and my mind this morning, God, in this service. God, help me not leave unless I've just learned a little something more about you, unless I've taken just a little bit step closer to you, God. God, remove any distractions in this service right now, either my own or anything that's manufactured. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would anoint our pastor, Lord, as he brings forth this word. God, I pray that you would anoint his heart and his mind and his mouth, Lord, to speak your word, God, and let our hearts be changed because of it, God. I pray that you would be in the music, God, that you would be in the announcements, that you would be in the altar call, that you would be in the preaching, God, because we're lifting you up and we praise you, God, for you are doing the work and it is not us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me. carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken pieces and raise them to glory. So hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. That you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection will never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken things, Jesus. You raise them to the glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say. Finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the shining see. This is my victory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you to the bridge, I want us to sing it with faith behind it. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me.
Praise the Lord, church. There's such a wonderful presence of the Lord in this place this morning. I want to welcome you all to Calvary Gospel Church. I want to thank you all for coming out on this somewhat blustery winter today. So I see everyone here made it. So I want to thank our worship and music team. And also our parking lot cleaning team that was here most of the night. And I appreciate that so very much. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. And we're going to get right into, I know Pastor Brother Peter Sandin greeted all of our guests, but if you're a guest joining us this morning, thank you so very much. It's great to have you here. And if you're joining us online, a lot of our folks, we send a one call out, thanks to Pastor Phil, that if you don't feel comfortable this morning, it's kind of one of those, depending on where you live, depending on how much snow and what kind of weather you have. So we're going to get right into this morning. We have been doing a series. We are completed our fast, which would have ended last night at midnight. And we did not do a food fast as a collective, as a church. Some of you opted to do different types of fasts, but we talked about resetting and reconnecting our lives. And we have this little worksheet that's available for you out in the vestibule. Reset, reconnect. We're talking about spiritually, our soul, our heart, mentally, our mind, physically, our body. We've talked about three areas of our lives. We talked about what needs to go in each one of these areas, spiritually, mentally, and physically. We've talked about recommending decluttering some things in your life, decluttering things that are in your heart, decluttering things in your mind, and also things that affect your body. And what can we give away? And spiritually, mentally, and physically, and what in my life needs love and attention. A lot of times we pay close attention to our spiritual awareness, and we don't pay a whole lot of attention to our mental awareness or our minds as well as our bodies as we should. So we're going to move on. We paused this past Wednesday, kind of closing at this point, and I'm going to kind of pick up where we left off on Wednesday, if that's okay. Paul was penning his letter to the Philippians, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 13, reading from the NIV, he instructs them to throw them off and trust that God is working in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And we look at our lives, and Paul here is talking to the church in the Philippians, and he's giving them a challenge, and I believe that we can address the same challenge today in our lives. And as I said, we gave out our worksheets, but then also along with those worksheets, we had each one of our families, each one of our singles, and each one of our young people take a stress test. And I'm not going to ask how many of you took your stress test. You could go online and take it and fill out your score, and all of that was done. And I thank the team that worked on collecting all of that data. And I had said that this morning we were going to start deciphering some of this and how this applies to us in our lives. And we looked at our family. We looked at our stress levels in our family. And as I said, you had a questionnaire to fill out. And most of our families were in the good range. 67% of the families tested out, or 57, excuse me, in the good range. We had 36.4% of our families tested out with mild stress. And then we had 6.6% test out with medium or higher levels of stress. So our families overall averaged 32 in their score, and that is a good score. So I feel very good about that. And we're handling some of this stuff. Hopefully some of this teaching we've been covering for this last 3 weeks has been helping. We also are singles. Our singles didn't quite fare as well. And so we can tell where areas of stress. We had 14% of our singles that took our survey were scored very high, that they have high levels of stress. Only 4.4% of our singles said they had low levels of stress in their life. And 81.5% of our singles that took the test tested out with medium levels of stress in their lives. And as we move on to our teens that took the test, and the teens actually scored the worst of all of us in this test. And 62.7 of our teenagers have said that they have high levels of stress in their lives. And we have 29% that said they had medium levels of stress, or mild levels of stress, excuse me. And we had 8.4% that said they had medium levels of stress. So the average stress score for our young people, if you were to average it all out, they're high in their stress categories. Now, I want to address some of these issues because I feel that it's very important that if we're going to take and survive, that we have to survive physically, we have to survive mentally, and we have to survive spiritually. We talk about life being a three-legged stool, and we've given you that analogy. But when I look at this morning, we're gonna talk about some basic family living this morning. Can we do that? Is everybody up for this? Whether you're up for it or not, you're going to get it. But we're going to talk about some basic family living. We're going to start with our teenagers because they're the highest level of stress. And understand when we look at our young people, each morning our youth, either they leave home or they log in online to their schools. They venture out into a world that is increasingly immoral. It just boggles my mind at times as you read article after article after article, or you watch newscast after newscast at the increasing level of immorality that is sweeping across our world. And perhaps most of us as adults can brush some of this off, but it is coming against our young people and our children full bore. The enemy is full press, pushing, increasing pressure among our young people and our children. We live in a world that is full of chaos and turmoil, and they're being raised in an era of tremendous levels of insecurity. You may say, well, as a parent, I'm secure in who I am, but our young people are faced with going to school, with school violence, mass shootings are peppering the news, and the uncertainty of COVID and the isolation, the bullying that goes on in social media, and their lives have been, to a degree, the last year, totally turned upside down. Tight-knit families and neighborhoods seem less common today than they were in the past. When I was growing up, I felt very comfortable roaming around our neighborhood at any hour of the day or night and not feeling like any harm would come to me. And now most of our families and most of our neighborhoods, neighbors don't even know who each other are. They don't talk to one another. Our kids are becoming increasingly more and more isolated. Tight-knit families are far less common, and social distancing, as well as the media, is redefining the idea of what community is. Our lives are being redefined for us, whether we want to agree with it or not. We go into stores now and everyone has to wear a mask. I'm not pro, for, or against. That's just the fact of it. But then the creating this social distancing, and you can't get close to one another. You can't hug one another. You can't shake one another's hands. All of this is redefining how we live life. In the middle of all of this, our young people are expected to fulfill responsibilities still within their families. Many of them are working jobs in the workplace or going to school. And yes, they have responsibilities even here in our local church assembly. Each different area of their lives have competing expectations, which create layers and levels of stress. Especially for some of our young people, and I don't know how you were, but at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, I was being pressured by my guidance counselor, Miss Patch, to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And at 14 years old, I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do with my life, nor did at 14 I care. I was still building tree forts and all kinds of crazy stuff and loved to spend hours and hours in the woods and playing with our neighbors and the friends and buddies in the neighborhood and riding bikes. I didn't care what. Who wants to be a biologist? I mean, I loved worms. I loved bugs. I loved all that. But do it for a living? No, I couldn't grasp that thought. Our kids are being pressured earlier and earlier and earlier in life. What do you want to be when you grow up? The latest onslaught coming against our young people and our children is, what sex do you want to be when you grow up? There's laws that are being proposed right now that as a parent, you have to wait, or they're looking for you to wait until your children are 4 years old before you determine what sex they're going to be, and then your children will get to determine that. Yet if they skip school, you get punished for it. I just have to ask, what four-year-old is able to make a decision of that magnitude concerning their life and make it in a correct, accurate, with full mental, physical abilities? But this is the pressure and the stress that's being placed upon our young people today. Each area of their life adds on more and more stress as they try to figure out who they are, but also, most importantly, what do I believe? What are my values? What am I going to look at? Am I going to have the same values as my parents have, or has influences in my life entered in? And this is where we see a lot of young people struggle as they get older into their teenage years and through their teenage years into early adult. And you say, well, I taught them right. But you think about yourself as an adult growing up, going through those same times. At what point in time did you determine what your values were going to be? And I know my values in my life began to shift drastically after we had our first and our only child. Kids have a tendency to shift your values. So when we look at this, how can we equip our teenagers? How can we equip our kids? How can we equip our families to successfully navigate through these shifting and often contradictory times? I just want to stress to all the families that one of the most important things that you can do as a parent for your children's mental health and their physical health and their spiritual health is to sit down with them every day and have a family meal together as a family. I didn't get very many amens on that. But the best thing you can do as a parent is to sit down and actually eat with your children. Sit down with them regularly. It doesn't have to be a fancy five-course meal. Homemade pizza or takeout pizza would probably work just fine. But studies that I've been able to take and look through and decipher shows that eating, families that eat together as a family, it reduces the high-risk teen behaviors that our teens are faced with when it comes to alcohol, tobacco, eating disorders, and sexual activities outside of normal relation, I guess. Families and meals are also linked together, that if your family eats together, your family tends to have a better mood as a family. More service-oriented behaviors when you can help serve each other at the table, and a higher level of life satisfaction when your families eat together. And it's the family circumstances, as far as whether the family is going through financial trouble or all dad's lost his job, some of those things are almost invalid. They don't really matter a whole lot to the young people, to the kids, when mom and dads are sitting at the table and sharing a meal and sharing conversation with one another. It's important that moms and dads, that in order to take and teach your children how to behave themselves at times, You go into a restaurant and you see kids that don't know how to behave in restaurants, and it's probably because they never eat together at a family table. But I want to challenge you in the next month, as families, sit down together with your children and have a family meal together at least once a day. I understand with schedules in the morning and lunches and such, but try to get back to doing some of these habits. Develop these as habits. I know this isn't a real spiritual thing this morning, but it hurts sometimes when we read and we find out and we understand that our young people are crying out. It's a shame that suicide rates among our children are as high as they are. That should not be. It should not be. Our kids are social creatures. I know some of you get aggravated at the kids running around after church here in the sanctuary, but they don't get to see each other as much as they used to. Now we got to be careful that we don't run each other over and hurt anybody, but kids are social, just as adults are social. So open up that, and just as a little bit of advice, there can be a lot of conflict at a supper table. Don't bring up school grades. Don't bring up detentions. Don't chew your children out. Use it as a time to teach them, to grow with them, admonish them. A few other quick pointers. When's the last time as a parent that you spent one-on-one time with your teenagers, with your children? Avoid making speeches. Sometimes we plan little speeches as parents to try to improve your child. Save those times where you can get one-on-one with your child, not embarrass them in front of their siblings. And when they have something to say, listen to what they have to say. Understand what life would be like if you were now sitting in their desk at school. I couldn't handle at home, in school, on screen type virtual learning. There's just no way I could handle that. I would be working on models and Legos, and I could not sit in front of a screen that long and behave myself. And some of the expectations. So understand, try to understand their perspective. Share positive thoughts or feelings, and limit, and I know our kids aren't going to like to hear this, but limit the amount of social media. I believe social media has its place, and it has its pluses and its minuses, but our kids spend hours and hours and hours a day now behind the screen, and they don't need to spend all night long behind a screen. Have some of that personal social interaction when it comes to dealing with your children. Isaiah 54:13 tells me that, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Do we believe, how often, how many times as parents do we pray for our children? How many times do we pray for our teenagers? There have been a number of studies over the years that have found out that the stress and anxiety producing as far as in our young people, that I'm having a hard time concentrating this morning. Number one is, I told you all last week that they're messing with my blood pressure medications again, and my blood pressure this morning is like extremely, extremely low, and I'm having a little hard time, so just bear with me if you would, please. But we have to just realize, understand, we're here together as a family, and we have to be able to take and help our young people. We have to help our families, and the point of all of this is we need to also draw ourselves and our young people closer to God. And it does my heart good, and I just want to thank We have some of our families that have opened up their homes for some of our young people to gather. And just this past week, we had a young man over at our home for a little while, and he was sharing some of his adventures, I guess, with his buddies and friends as they were at another family's home, and they were singing and worshiping the Lord, playing the keyboard, playing games, and all of these things. All of this is so critical, especially right now, in the lives of our teenagers and our young people. So, our children, yes, our young people, they're under pressure, just as we as adults can be under pressure. It's just we, over the years, have become better equipped at handling it or better equipped at hiding it than our young people. So, one thing that we can do as parents also is remember that we are just not only physical, but we are mental and we are spiritual. And as I've said, we're like a three-corded rope. And it's very important that every day I want to challenge our families to meet together as a family. If you can't do it at the end of the day, then do it during your before you have supper. Go ahead and pray, but read a verse of Bible and share it with your children. Refresh daily with Bible and refresh daily with prayer, because these are where our young people, our children, need to learn how to pray on their own. When I was a kid growing up, I mean, I grew up in our pastor's home. Our bishop was my father. And we always had family prayer. Every night we would have family prayer. We'd go into mom and dad's bedroom, and we would pray. And then we would go back into our bedroom. Sad to say, as I got older in life, I didn't always practice that. And it wasn't until in my mid-30s, again, after being backslidden for a number of years, that I began to redevelop a prayer life and a relationship with God. And we have to understand something, young people. I want to challenge you here this morning. And I know you're not all here. We've got five of you sitting down here and a few scattered around. But you can't get to heaven off of mom and dad's religious experience. You have to get there on your own. It has to be your own. And for years I thought that, you know, mom and dad, I was going to get into heaven because mom and dad were going to help get me into heaven. But then I began to realize that, no, the only way I'm going to get there is if I get there on my own. That doesn't mean you can't have help from other people to get you there, but you have to develop your own relationship. Psalms 1:3 says that a man who delights in God's word will be like a tree planted by streams of water. And all that he does, Brother Brunker, that means, young people, if you can just get this little passage of Scripture and commit to living this, be like a tree planted by streams of water so that all that you do will prosper. What does that tell me? That tells me that if I'm going to school, if I live a life that's principled based upon God's word, that everything I do is going to prosper. Because it says, in all that he does. So reading scriptures will equip you with wisdom. They will bring peace and courage to help you fight your daily battles. It's a necessary investment that we must make in life as we struggle with life and how to reduce these stress points in our lives. We have to find that place. And I want to challenge every one of us that every day, get alone with God. Get alone with God. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. I think we could, I'm not saying rewrite this morning, as in change the content or the what this verse is saying, but we could rewrite this to say, come to me, all ye that are stressed out and are carrying a very heavy burden of life. And what does Jesus say? He says, I I will give you rest. Rest. I want to challenge the next point that we have is we don't rest enough, folks. I did looked up a survey, and I don't have time to go into all of the details of it, but the American public, of all the working countries in the world, is the most overworked, hardest worked nation. We take less vacation every year. We even take less vacation now than the Japanese. We work longer hours than any other country. We have more sick days, but we take less sick days. That means we're working more sick because of necessity or just because we have so much stuff that we have to pay for. So, Exodus 20, verse 8, in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's a day of rest. The Lord Himself, after creating the world in Genesis 2:2, He rested. You know, God rested after creating all of this. I don't know if God gets tired, but obviously He took a day of rest from all of the activities. So that means you and I need rest too. That means, yes, young people, you need rest too. So I just want to encourage you, as we go into this next phase of reducing stress in our lives, take that time. You know, naps are not a sin. Did you know that? You don't have to sleep for 3 hours. Sometimes I just go in and I just take a 15-minute power nap. I just relax. When I worked in plumbing and worked in construction, every day I worked a lot of 12-hour days at 4 o'clock. I would take a break. My chiropractor suggested I do this. I bring to work 2 pairs of boots, and I would take 1 pair of boots off and 1 pair of socks off, massage my feet, let them rest, and then put a fresh pair of socks and a fresh pair of boots on. It's just amazing sometimes what just a little bit of rest will do to revive you, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually. I'm convinced that most of us would improve our physical and emotional health dramatically if we just slept or rested a little bit longer than usual. So, while you're planning your weekly activities, set aside one day, set aside some time to just rest and relax. You don't always have to be going 90 miles an hour. Slow down just a little bit. Humanity just thrives on schedules. We like routine. We like knowing what to expect. And to be honest, God designed life around time, not time around life. And He gave us 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And understand that we live in a society that works 24/7. When God designed the human body, He did not design the human body to work all night long. He designed it to rest. Now, I understand that some of us may work first shift, second shift, and third shift. But we have to also understand that because we work these hours, that it is going to require us to take extra time and extra rest. So I'm encouraging, get some rest. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So, you may feel that life, your family's life may be out of control, but understand God is still in control of all of this. I want to encourage you also to create a schedule. As I previously stated, humanity thrives on schedules, but a lot of families don't have schedules. A lot of families just kind of fly by the seat of their pants, and life would be a whole lot less chaotic and run much more smoothly if you created what I'm going to call a loose schedule. All right? Now, when I was in business and I worked for myself, I had a schedule, and I had a calendar. I had one of those big 30-day calendars that you laid out on your desktop, and everything in my day went into that calendar, everything in my week and the month, and I lived by a schedule. I had to, because I had to remember I had to be at your house at a particular time to fix something that you had broken, or I had to be here or there or wherever. So I had to have a schedule. I also learned how to manage time. Some of us don't manage time very well. We waste a lot of time. When I was growing up as an apprentice, the boss that I worked for, and Jeff Rossing worked for the same individual, and he probably has some of the same habits, and he probably instilled these habits into his brother Nathan, and Marvin Renvick, that's a plumber, has the same habits because we all worked together at one time. But we never left and went out to our trucks empty-handed. We never came in empty-handed. So if you were done with something, we put it away. We wonder how our houses get so cluttered and our garages get cluttered and our basements get cluttered is because we take stuff out and we don't put it away because we're in a hurry. So you're saying, Pastor, what does this have to do with anything religious this morning? Not a whole lot, other than how we live our lives physically affect us mentally and spiritually. I will guarantee if we have cluttered lives physically, that we will have cluttered lives mentally and cluttered lives spiritually, because habits are hard to break. So I want to challenge you. Think different. Begin to take, if you have to fill out post-it notes and operate your families a little bit different and such. Don't make schedules so rigid that you can't follow your schedule. But make it rigid enough that you can take and actually accomplish things that you seek to accomplish. And I know sometimes we get frazzled, we get worn out, we wonder how to reduce stress in our lives. Just throwing a few things out. You know, sometimes it helps to wake up every day at the same time. I'm just saying. If you wake up one day at 8 o'clock, you wake up one day at 9 o'clock, you wake up one day at 6 o'clock, your body never gets on a specific schedule. And bodies seem to thrive and function better on schedule. Case in point is, how many of you have to have coffee before 8 o'clock in the morning? There's a lot of folks here that have to have coffee before 8. How many of you have to have breakfast before 8 o'clock in the morning? How many of you don't wake up until 9 o'clock in the morning? You may be up at 6, but you're not awake until 9. I used to get teased all the time on the job. Yeah, don't bother Roy. He doesn't wake up till 9 o'clock. That's about when my Mountain Dew kicked in, even though I might have been working for 3 hours. So wake up. Put yourself on a schedule. Take a shower and get dressed. You feel much better and ready to tackle the day, especially if you're working from home. A lot of times people, they just get up and they're in their sweatpants and their pajamas and they stay in it all day long. Get up, get dressed, face your day. Create daily and a weekly schedule for reoccurring activities. And don't forget to include times of rest and times of play. We used to have this motto, work hard, play hard. Doesn't mean you can't play and you can't have fun. Eat healthy meals. Eat healthy meals. Eat healthy meals, regulate your sleep, and do some form of daily exercise. Now, I'm going to stop at this point because we're 3 minutes after 11. And we're going to step into this, our next week. Well, I think actually Pastor Seidel is speaking on Wednesday evening. So next Sunday, we'll wrap this up. We're going to continue on taking care of our body. We're going to talk about physical activity. We're talking about eating better whole foods. We're going to talk about how Jesus lived his lifestyle. And with that, if you can stand this morning. As I said, you may be looking at this and saying, well, Pastor, this really wasn't a real spiritual message this morning. But sometimes just going back to learning how to live basic life Learning how to live basic life can take and open up so many more opportunities for us when it comes to spiritually and mental and physical health. So as we look at life this morning, you look at where you are in your life. I know for me, it's been this last year and a half, has been a real struggle in a lot of physical areas of life that I used to not struggle with. Used to not have a problem with feeling like I weigh too much. I never had an issue with that until I turned 40. And when people used to say your metabolism's going to change, I used to laugh at them and say, "Nah, that won't happen to me." Yeah. Brother Kirby Waters just got new glasses and they're bifocals. And we were up here last Sunday morning laughing and joking around about bifocals because I recently got a different pair of glasses and my transition lens is a little bit different spot in this pair of lenses and I've had to readjust how I tip my head. How many of you bifocal folks know what I'm talking about? You're blurry right here, Brother Scott. I can't even tell who you are, but right here, yep. People walk around like, why has he got his nose up in the air? Well, depends on what I'm looking at. It's all part of just life changing. And we grow. But all of these little changes sometimes just is stressful. So I just want to encourage you this morning that this next week, start to take some of these things to heart. Say, okay, what can we do different? What can I do different in my own life? What can I do different in a family setting? And if you're the moms and the dads, or if you're single, what can you do different in your life that will affect the rest of your weeks? But also, what you do different affects other people. So when mom and dad make a decision to change something, it affects their children. And when children make, young people make a decision to change something, it affects the family dynamic as well. So we're all in this together. So as our worship team begins to lead us in worship again, if you'd like to come down and pray about some of these things. I don't know what it is in your life this morning. I have no idea. I'm not in each and every one of your homes. But obviously it's something that we're all struggling with. Because we all stated we were. So as our worship team leads, I just want to open up this altar. If you'd like to come down and pray, or if you'd like to gather together as a family, you're certainly welcome to do that. Grandmas and grandpas with grandchildren, certainly welcome to do that.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
Church, thank you so very much for coming out today. Our worship team, thank you so much. Did a tremendous job this morning to our parking lot team and all those that helped. Thank you so very much. So just remember, you want to eliminate some of that stress in your life and your families. Get up the same time every day. It helps. Take a shower, get dressed. Create a daily and a weekly schedule. Don't forget times for rest and for play. Eat healthy meals, regulate your sleep, get a little bit of exercise. Pray and read your Bible every day. Pray and read your Bible every day. Love you all. God bless you. We will be back here Wednesday evening. Remember, we have a leadership meeting tonight at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. So God bless you. Have a blessed day.